Chapter 17, Section 5, The War Ends. In this section, we will explore the following questions. What was the significance of the Union victories at Vicksburg and Gettysburg? What ideals did Lincoln express in the Gettysburg Address? How did Union generals use a new type of war to defeat the Confederacy? Define, siege, and total war. Identify, Battle of Gettysburg, Gettysburg Address, Ulysses S. Grant, Philip Sheridan, William Tecumseh Sherman. Setting the scene. As you have read, Confederate armies won major battles at Fredericksburg in December 1862 and at Chancellorsville in May 1863. These were gloomy days for the North. Then, in July 1863, the tide of war turned against the South. In the West, the Union extended its control of the Mississippi River and cut the South in two. At the Battle of Gettysburg, in Pennsylvania, both Union and Confederate forces suffered terrible losses. However, as President Davis later explained, theirs could be repaired, ours could not. The following year, President Lincoln would appoint Ulysses S. Grant commander-in-chief of the Union Army. In Grant, Lincoln had found the general who could lead the Union to victory. The Fall of Vicksburg. After capturing New Orleans and Memphis, the Union controlled both ends of the Mississippi River. Still, the North could not safely use the river because Confederates held Vicksburg, Mississippi. Vicksburg sat on a cliff high above the river. Cannons there could shell the boats traveling between New Orleans and Memphis. Early in 1863, Grant's forces tried again and again to seize Vicksburg. The Confederates held out bravely. At last, Grant devised a brilliant plan. Marching his troops inland, he launched a surprise attack on Jackson, Mississippi. Then he turned west and attacked Vicksburg from the rear. See the map on page 470. For over 6 weeks, Grant's forces lay in siege to Vicksburg. A siege is a military blockade of an enemy town or position in order to force it to surrender. Day after day, the Union soldiers pushed their lines closer to the town. Union artillery and gunboats on the Mississippi bombarded the besieged soldiers and inhabitants. As their food supplies ran out, the Southerners began to use mules and rats as food. Finally, on July 4, 1863, the Confederates surrendered Vicksburg. On July 9, Union forces also captured Port Hudson, Louisiana. The entire Mississippi was now under Union control. The Confederacy was split into two parts. Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana were cut off from the rest of the Confederacy. Union victory at Gettysburg. In the east, after his victory at Chancellorsville, General Lee moved his army north into Pennsylvania. He hoped to take the Yankees by surprise. If he was successful, Lee planned to then swing south and capture Washington, D.C. On June 30, 1863, a Union force under General George C. Meade met part of Lee's army at the small town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Both sides quickly sent in reinforcements. The three-day Battle of Gettysburg that followed was one of the most important battles of the Civil War. At the start of the battle, the Confederates drove the Union forces out of Gettysburg. The Yankees took up strong positions on Cemetery Ridge, overlooking the town. On July 2nd, a Confederate attack failed with heavy casualties. Nevertheless, Lee decided to launch another attack. On July 3rd, he ordered General George Pickett to lead 15,000 men in a daring charge against the center of the Union line. To reach the Yankees, Pickett's men had to cross an open field and run up a steep slope. Pickett gave the order to charge, and the Union guns opened fire. Row after row of soldiers fell to the ground, bleeding. Still, the Confederate troops continued to rush forward against a rain of bullets and shells. Few were able to reach the Union lines. A Union soldier described the fighting at the crest of the ridge. Men fire into each other's faces, not 5 feet apart. There are bayonet thrusts, saber strokes, pistol shots, men going down on their hands and knees, gulping blood, failing legless, armless, headless. Pickett's charge failed. As the survivors limped back, Lee rode among them. "It's all my fault," he admitted humbly. Lee had no choice but to retreat. After the defeat at the Battle of Gettysburg, the Confederates would never again invade the North. The Union victories at Vicksburg and Gettysburg marked the turning point of the Civil War. On July 4, 1863, the Northerners had good reason to celebrate. The Gettysburg Address. The Battle of Gettysburg left more than 40,000 dead or wounded. When the soldiers who died there were buried, their graves stretched as far as the eye could see. On November 19, 1863, Northerners held a ceremony to dedicate this cemetery. President Lincoln attended the ceremony, but he was not the main speaker. At that time, his popularity was quite low. Lincoln sat with his hands folded as another speaker talked for 2 hours. When it was his turn, the president rose and spoke for about 3 minutes. In his Gettysburg Address, Lincoln said that the Civil War was a test of whether or not a democratic nation could survive. He reminded Americans that their nation was founded on the belief that all men are created equal. Looking out at the thousands of graves, Lincoln told the audience, "We were highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth." Few people listened to Lincoln that day. Newspapers gave his speech little attention. Later generations, however, have honored Lincoln's brief address as a profound statement of American ideals. The Union wages total war. For 3 years, Lincoln had searched for a general who could lead the army to victory. More and more, he thought of Ulysses S. Grant. After capturing Vicksburg, Grant continued to win battles in the West. In 1864, Lincoln appointed him commander of the Union forces. Some questioned the choice, but President Lincoln felt that unconditional surrender, Grant, was the general who could lead the Union to victory. "I can't spare this man," Lincoln said. "He fights." Grant and other Union generals began to wage total war against the South. In total war, civilians as well as soldiers are affected. The Union army waged total war by destroying food and equipment that might be useful to the enemy. Civilians in the South suffered the same hardships as soldiers. Sheridan in the Shenandoah. Grant had a plan for ending the war. He wanted to destroy the South's ability to fight. Grant sent General Philip Sheridan and his cavalry into the rich farmland of Virginia's Shenandoah Valley. He instructed Sheridan, "Leave nothing to invite the enemy to return. Destroy whatever cannot be consumed. Let the valley be left so that the crows flying over it will have to carry their rations along with them." Sheridan obeyed. In the summer and fall of 1864, he marched through the valley, destroying farms and livestock. Sherman's March to the Sea. Grant also ordered General William Tecumseh Sherman to capture Atlanta, Georgia, and then march to the Atlantic Ocean. Like Sheridan, Sherman had orders to destroy everything useful to the South. Sherman's troops captured Atlanta in September 1864. They burned the city in November. Then Sherman began his march to the sea. Sherman's troops ripped up railroad tracks, built bonfires from the ties, then heated and twisted the rails. They killed livestock and tore up fields. They burned barns, homes, and factories. Lincoln is reelected. In 1864, Lincoln ran for reelection. At first, his defeat seemed, in his own words, extremely probable. Before the capture of Atlanta, Union chances for victory looked bleak. Lincoln knew that many Southerners were unhappy with his handling of the war. He thought that this might cost him the election. The Democrats nominated General George McClellan to oppose Lincoln. Although he had commanded the Union Army, McClellan was more willing than Lincoln to compromise with the South. If peace could be achieved, he was ready to restore slavery. When Sherman took Atlanta in September, the North rallied around Lincoln. Sheridan's smashing victories in the Shenandoah Valley in October further increased Lincoln's popular support. In the election in November, the vote was close, but Lincoln remained president. In his second inaugural address, Lincoln looked forward to the coming of peace. "With malice toward none, with charity for all, let us strive to bind up the nation's wounds, to do all which may achieve a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations." The war ends. Grant had begun to drive to capture Richmond in May 1864. Throughout the spring and summer, he and Lee fought a series of costly battles. Northerners read with horror that Grant had lost 60,000 dead and wounded in a single month at the battles of the Wilderness, Spotsylvania, and Cold Harbor. Still, Grant pressed on. He knew that the Union could replace men and supplies. The South could not. Lee dug in at Petersburg, near Richmond. Here, Grant kept Lee under the siege for 9 months. At last, with a fresh supply of troops, Grant took Petersburg on April 2, 1865. The same day, Richmond fell. Lee and his army withdrew to a small Virginia town called Appomattox Courthouse. There, a week later, they were trapped by Union troops. Lee knew that his men would be slaughtered if he kept fighting. On April 9, 1865, Lee surrendered. At Appomattox Courthouse, Grant offered generous terms of surrender to the defeated Confederate Army. Soldiers were required to turn over their rifles, but officers were allowed to keep their pistols. Soldiers who had horses could keep them. Grant knew that Southerners would need the animals for spring plowing. As the Confederates surrendered, Union soldiers began to cheer. Grant ordered them to be silent. "The war is over," he said. "The rebels are our countrymen again." Effects of the war. More than 360,000 Union soldiers and 250,000 Confederate soldiers lost their lives in the Civil War. No war has ever resulted in more American deaths. As a result, feelings of bitterness remained among both Northerners and Southerners. Southerners had special reasons to view the North with resentment. They had lost their struggle for independence. Their way of life had been forcibly changed. Union armies had destroyed much of their land. In addition, many Southerners feared that the North would seek revenge against the South after the war. Finally, the Civil War was a major turning point in American history. The Union was secure. The states' rights had suffered a terrible blow. As a result, the power of the federal government grew. The war also brought freedom to millions of African Americans. Still, a long and difficult struggle for equality lay ahead.